Breakfast Business with Joe Lynham on News Talk.
With Cantor Fitzgerald Ireland, helping people across Ireland invest, plan and grow their wealth with confidence. Cantor Fitzgerald Ireland is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Good morning and welcome to Breakfast Business, and thank you as ever to Shane Beattie. The good news is it is Friday. The bad news is it is Friday the 13th of March at 6:31. Coming up on today's show, we'll be chatting to the boss of the Diamond Expert ahead of Mother's Day, and we'll be looking at how in more detail each sector of the economy might be impacted by this energy shock and all the markets as usual. You can email us business@newstalk.com. But first, let's have a look at those main business stories in the papers and websites, which we shall do in the non-stop working company of Kate English, Chief Economist with Deloitte. Good morning, Kate.
Good morning, Joe.
Now, can we start with inflation? It's something I fear we're going to be talking about a lot more later on this year.
And I think
so too. It stabilised last month.
Exactly. So yesterday we got February inflation data out for Ireland. The rate was at 2.7%, so unchanged from the previous month in January. That stability, I suppose, is an element. It's good news for listeners. But we don't expect that to last. It's important to note that is for February, so it wouldn't have accounted for any of the increases in fuel costs and other costs that we've experienced over the last 3 weeks since the conflict in the Gulf region has emerged. Food inflation was down slightly as well, down to 3.5%. Of course, it's still very high and much higher than where it would have been, for example, at the start of 2022. So cast your mind back ever before the invasion of Ukraine, when inflation would have sat at about 2%. Also, interestingly, within that context of what could happen over the coming months, CPI, we often forget that inflation overall was trending that little bit higher as we came into the start of 2022 and actually sat at 5%, which is much higher than today's rate of 2.7%. But as you rightly said, we expect that this inflation figure may increase over the coming months if the disruption to supply chains and production of certain critical fossil fuels and other materials continues
to
be impacted.
Urea, fertilizer, helium, there's so many stuff that I'll be talking with
Aluminium,
Simon afterwards.
Many products that are impacted too. The biggest increases in inflation over the past month was education and insurance. And actually that education part of the index continues to be impacted by the permanent change in third level fees that were announced in the budget last year. So that's kind of holding that 2.7% rate for us, but certainly one to watch over the coming months.
Now, first of all, you have to tell us what private credit markets are, and then tell us about the ructions, because there are ructions going on there.
Yeah, so a lot of rumblings in the private credit market this week, and certainly actually for the past number of weeks, and even bring ourselves back to last summer as well. What is private credit? It is essentially non-bank lending. So this could be a mix of investment funds, pension funds, insurance companies, venture capitalists, anything outside of your traditional bank lender. Those non-bank lenders, private credit, now accounts for almost about 50% of all global credit or
50%.
Finance.
50%?
Yes, which is up a lot higher from where we would have seen or is a big shift from during kind of early 2000s or certainly after.
And
is
this lending on the foot of the banks, normal traditional banks, not lending to companies?
So it's an element of, yes, that capital market having been quite severely impacted post-2008. Traditional banks being much more stringent in their lending. And, you know, rightly so in some cases as well. But it's where we've seen this private credit play a much larger role in our financial markets. Why the rumblings of it? Well, we saw quite a large lender, a mortgage lender within the UK collapse a number of weeks ago. There was two very high US profile cases.
Blue Owl was one, wasn't it?
One from the start of this year and two other ones previously during the summer of 2025 as well. And as each of these have shown signs of trouble, they've raised that question, well, how stable is this market? There's a famous quote from Jamie Dimon from JP Morgan Chase from last year when this was originally occurring, saying, when you see one cockroach, there are probably more. So it's the questions around, well, the leverage rates, the underwriting standards, the due diligence practices that take place within that part of the financial market? And if we were to see a further fallout, how would that spread to our wider financial market? How much are our larger banks exposed? And now with that element of AI and the increased amount of lending going into AI, it's added kind of another element of fear to this private credit space since the start of 2025. So certainly one to watch. I don't think we're at a stage yet of where it is a full out financial market collapse, nowhere near that.
It's certainly definitely on our radar.
But on our radar without doubt. And I would expect that we'll continue to see this story evolve across markets over the coming weeks and months, no doubt.
Now, Mrs. L, if she's listening at home, she's a huge fan of Jo Malone fragrances. But she's going to end up in court.
Yeah, so interestingly reported that Estee Lauder company said that it's going to file a lawsuit against Jo Malone and her fragrance brand Jo Loves and the Zara UK business for the use of Malone's name on certain perfumes that the US firm own that the Zara is selling at present. So for a bit of a backstory to this, Estee Lauder companies bought Malone's self-named perfume brand and the right to use the name in 1999, and Malone herself left the company in 2006. And I suppose the company said that the use of Jo Malone and the packaging of Jo Love fragrances breaches some of the lawsuits or legal contracts that would have existed around the time of that sale and when Malone left. So only the lawsuit filed. We don't know the outcome of that yet, but will be interesting for all our fragrance lovers.
And the lawyers will love it, of course. Now, the EU took another step towards provisional application of the Mercosur South American trade deal.
Yeah, so again, if we cast our minds back, remember the interim trade agreement was signed on the 17th of February, and it now looks that this may be provisionally implemented from May of this year. So the EU trade spokesperson yesterday did not confirm a date yet for this, but it is looking likely that it could be May. Remember, this is the interim trade framework agreement. The European Parliament has requested an opinion from the Court of Justice of the European Union.
Which could take 2 years.
And how compatible as well that this interim deal is with other EU treaties. This deal has been 25 years in the making. We've spoken about it previously in this studio, Joe, and we know that increasingly, we're seeing a need for diversification of trade markets. So this yesterday's development is good news, but we'll have to wait and see how it plays out over the coming 2 months.
Okay, wonderful to have you as ever. Any plans for the weekend, or are you working on Monday? You're taking Monday off?
I'm going to make a long one? No, I'm going to work on Monday. There's too much happening in the world of economics for an economist to stop these days.
I know, it's so much
and of course, Sunday with Mother's Day.
Of course. Kate, look after yourself. That is Kate English, Chief Economist with Deloitte.
Breakfast Business with Joe Lynham on News Talk.
With Cantor Fitzgerald Ireland, helping people across Ireland invest, plan and grow their wealth with confidence. Cantor Fitzgerald Ireland is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.